Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Blog Talk family. This is Leslie Gish. You're listening to the Antique E Show. And tonight we have a guest. Are you on the line?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Would you please introduce yourself to the Blog Talk family?
Hi, everyone. My name is Antonia Badon. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm presently doing the one-woman play, Zora Returns to Harlem. And we definitely have a show booked for Thanksgiving weekend, so we just want to let the audience know to come out and then see this great show, this great historical figure in the during the Harlem Renaissance.
Okay, where will your show be?
The show is presently booked at the George Faison Firehouse Theater. That's in Harlem at 6 Hancock Place, and it's off 124th Street between St. Nicholas and Morningside Avenue. We have two shows booked on November 28th, 2 p.m. matinee and 8 o'clock show, and Sunday, November 29th, 4 o'clock matinee.
Okay. Now, who is Zora?
Actually, if you all don't know, Zora is a great literary figure during the Harlem Renaissance. Most people know about Langston Hughes, Wallace Thurman, Du Bois. But Zora was one of the primary figures, women figures at the time, that was also a huge part of the Renaissance and catapulting Harlem to the next level as far as notoriety and financial wealth.
Okay. And what are some of her works which someone could Google right now?
Well, actually, one of her pieces that probably everybody know of is Their Eyes Are Watching God. Oprah Winfrey produced for TV a couple of years ago with Halle Berry as the lead character. And she also wrote a book, a novel called Dust Tracks on the Road, which is her autobiography, and Muse and Men. There's also a book that she wrote with Langston Hughes, which is actually Muse and Men, Mule Bone, which is the same book she wrote with Langston Hughes in 1934. So she has
Which one is your favorite?
My favorite is mostly like everyone's. My favorite actually is Dust Tracks on the Road because it is her autobiography, and you get a chance to really experience how she felt about everything, and her, you know, you get the chance to really see her whole life story through her autobiography. But most people do like Their Eyes Are Watching God, because it is a great novel and is a really great reader for women. But what I do in the show, it is 15 characters. I do 15 wardrobe changes, 15 different voices, and 15 different music transitions. And in the play, you get a chance to see Zora when she returns back to Harlem, and you get a chance to see her whole life unfold from when she's 9 years old, when she loses her mom, when she goes to Howard University, Barnard College. You get a chance to see her doing her voodoo research, which she gotten some fellowship from the Guggenheim Foundation and other great foundations during that time. You get a chance to see her when she's on Broadway, take her play The Great Day on Broadway, when she gets ill, and, you know, all the different moments in her life that really made her who she is. But you get a chance to see this story. It's like a foundation of how people really move through life from nothing and really become, really do something great with their life. So her story is one of those rags to riches kind of story. You know, it's a lot of struggle, but she did get a chance to really do all that she wanted to do and publish a lot of great work.
Now, how long did your research take for this project?
God. Actually, I actually launched this show in 2006, and I just actually got down to start once I, actually in 2005 I met with the writer, so I spent that year, 2005, and actually the show was launched in 2006. But her work is so vast, it's almost like you never get enough, because it's also great, vast, and the information is just beautiful. So I've been actually, you know, really doing the research for a while now. So the show is really at a beautiful place. This particular time, the great George Faison, the Tony Award winner, a choreographer for The Wiz, is directing the show this particular time. And that is a really great venue, the Faison Theater House in Harlem. And the writer is Lawrence Holder, who actually wrote When Chicken Comes Home to Roost, the play Denzel Washington did in the 60s or 70s. But it's a great, great body of work, and I think everybody should come out and really experience the Renaissance of Harlem and get a chance to experience the whole story about the Renaissance, plus the life of Zora.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of people behind your production. You want to share?
Yes.
Okay, tell us more about the people behind the scenes.
So I actually, one of the gentlemen that does the music, he's a musician. His name is Bruce Edwards, and if you Google him, or either, you know, I guess on Facebook, you'll find out about a lot about his work. He's he arranges music. He's a guitar. He plays the guitar. So he plays a lot of different other instruments. And he does scores for different major projects, lots of few TV shows, I think a couple of movies, independent movies. So he's very well known as far as in the jazz world. He plays on the jazz scene a lot. And the director that had worked with me for a while, a long time now, is Greg Freeland of Wendy Crest Media Group. So he's done a lot of directed plays during the, I think, the 90s. And I actually got him back on the scene to help me in 2007 to really, you know, really look at the play itself and, you know, help me move it to another level. And now that George Faison is helping me this time, it's going to be an incredible, incredible, great show. And if everybody knows the writer, Lawrence Holder, he actually wrote the play Monk. A lot of great plays, a lot of one-woman shows, a lot of one-man show plays. He writes a lot about the Harlem Renaissance figures. He's a very well-known writer, very established, and his work is incredible.
Now, how did you end up meeting all these different people, these talented people? How did you guys connect?
Oh, my God, long story. long story, working on Showtime at the Apollo. After that, I started working with a great casting director named Maria Greco. And I wanted to do a one-woman show that I originally had produced in New Orleans. I wanted to do the show here in New York, and that kind of did not pan out well. So I saw Mr. Lawrence Holder's card. It was a flyer. I saw his flyer, and so I gone to the project, the event, and when I got there, it was a reading that Woody King was doing for one of his another project. So I asked him if it was okay that I work on doing Zora, and he said yes. Send me the logistics. So this is like in the end of 2004, and the 2005. I actually had my own company on 44th and 9th as a film center film school, where I train on camera acting technique to kids and adults, where you can learn how to have really professional, clean look, crisp look on camera. And so Mr. Holder came over, and we talked more about me producing the show and moving on with it as a one-woman. It is a one-woman show. And from there, I'm just working and developing it, and, you know, people just...
You sell out constantly. Don't you always sell out?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We always have a great, great, great crowd. I mean, Zora, Zora herself is a major figure, and people really love her. She already has a huge fan group, and the show actually comes to life, so you get a chance to see a woman that you really admire. You really admire her work. So you get a chance to see her, we call it, incarnate through the work and, you know, the work that I do. And so it's a very, and the pieces, like I said, I've been actually performing it since 2003. So we have a really huge audience, and I love the piece. I love the story about Zora, and a lot of people really love the Renaissance.
Now, where is it going to be?
So, again, it's at the Faison Firehouse Theater, and it's Saturday, November 28th, Sunday, November 29th, at 6 Hancock Place off 124th Street in Harlem, between St. Nicholas and Morningside Avenue. So if you kind of like, if you have your audience who really don't know where the Hancock is, 124th Street, just go right to 125th Street in Harlem and St. Nicholas, and it's one block down, and you'll see the theater is to the left.
Okay, and if someone wants to contact you and would love for you to perform at their venue, how would they contact you?
Okay, you can always call me. This number is my RSVP line is on all the time. It's 347-767-8482. If anyone would like to RSVP tickets, you can RSVP them at the same number, 347-767-8482. I'm actually a part of NACA, the Mid-Atlantic Conference, so we do have some shows booked for the college circuit. So if people are really interested in a great show for Black History Month, Women's Month, a Literary and Poetry Month, or any time during the year, a fundraiser, we're definitely excited about coming out to perform at different venues, different fundraisers. We also love dinner theater, so if you have a restaurant and you're looking for a show that can definitely has a built-in audience, this is the perfect show for that.
Now, what would they need at the venue? Do you need a piano, a great sound system?
No, just a great, really, we hope that they have a really great sound system. If they don't have lights, we can definitely bring a light tree, but we would just hope that they have a really good sound system so that we can, so that my sound guy can come in and we have everything on track. So that's it. Most restaurants do have a nice sound system, so that's already in-house.
And your website, do you have a website?
Yes. You can actually go to www.dovetailactors.org. That's my business website. And you can actually find the Zora information, and if you want to see a little clip of it, it's on ZoraReturnsMySpace.com. Or if you just put my name in, Antonia, Google Antonia, A-N-T-O-N-I-A, Badon, B-A-D-O-N, or you can Google Zora Returns to Harlem or Zora Returns, if any one of those yes, so you can't miss me once you put my name in the Google my name.
Now, what do your family and all your fans from New Orleans think of the Zora show?
Oh, well, actually, my whole family is from New Orleans, so they haven't haven't seen the show yet. And since Katrina, my family is a little bit different places, but they haven't had a chance to see Katrina yet. I mean, not Katrina, the Zora show yet, but I'm hoping to get them out, hoping to get my mom out. She hasn't flown for the plane yet, so it's kind of a little, you know, it's kind of a challenge to get her to come to New York. And but eventually, you know, I've been talking to her a lot, I talked to her a lot, so eventually I think she's going to come out.
Okay.
After this
right.
show, but, you know, in the future, I know she's going to come and see the show.
Okay. Do you have anything on YouTube?
On YouTube, yeah. If you, I have a little footage of Zora, the actual, so you can see all the 15 characters. It's a 3-minute video of it. It's on YouTube under Zora, and you put in my name, Zora, and then Antonia Badon. You can definitely get a chance to view at least 15 of the characters. They're very short, but at least you get a chance to see the different wardrobe changes, the different voice changes, and the different music transitions. It's a very short piece, but it's really beautiful. And after the piece, there's some really good comments from Kiss, Gregory. There's a gentleman from Kiss who actually does a really great comment about the show, a director of Passion. She's on the end of it. So we were able to get, you know, some opinions of people that actually had come to a show at Times Square in August.
Okay. Now, we talked about a little bit about Zora. Which stage of Zora's life do you think was the most effective or impactful as far as her career?
Well, there are two stages of her life that I really, really, really like, and I really for the young adults who, you know, who's trying to consider college or going to college or in college, that those stages of her life was really beautiful, really important, because there was a point in when she was really young that she always wanted to go to school. And so it wasn't until later in her life, she was in her 20s when she really got a chance to go just to high school. So you have this young woman who's passion just to be in school, and our kids are, you know, are in school, and sometimes they're having a hard time staying in school. Sometimes when you're in college, you have a hard time, you know, paying for this, getting the funds for it. Well, this particular part of the play, it really inspires the youth about, you know, just staying true to your goals, staying true to your dreams, and just allowing your passion to really move your life forward. She didn't have any money going to school, but from the story, you get a chance to see that she went to college. She was the first black woman to go to Barnard College, first black woman to graduate, you know, by writing letters and people really taking interest in her career. And then the second part of her life that I really, really, really love is her really exploring her passion. Because now at this time she realizes she wants to be a writer and she wants to be an anthropologist, and she's actually passionate about it because she realizes that there haven't been a lot of data collected on African Americans. So she spends a lot of her time collecting as much information as she can about the heritage and the culture of African Americans. And so you get a chance to really see all that great material and this great woman who's inspiring your life from not having anything. So those are the two parts of her life that I really, really, really love, and that I really you really get a chance to see in the play. Sometimes when you read about Zora, most people talk about the latter part of her life, but you know, it was her when she was in her 20s and her 30s when her life was just really at its height, when she was doing a lot of her work, and she was really also in doing a renaissance, which was really a major figure and really helping Calipari's literary community to the forefront.
Now, what are some of the comments that you generally hear after almost every show?
oh my God, is everything that I hear is, oh my God, this show should be on Broadway. Oh my God, this was brilliant. People really love it, and they really love to see a woman that they've only seen still pictures of and really get a chance to see it as if they're really seeing her on stage. Most people say it's like Zora was right here with us for that moment in time, and that's what I really want them to feel. I want them to feel as if she's really a part of, you know, a part of them just for that little, that window. The play is 1 hour and 20 minutes, and you really experience her and see her and really be involved with the whole show. So most people say the same thing. They're brilliant, and they really want to see it on Broadway. So I'm hoping to, you know, for Broadway producers.
Okay, sounds good. Now, when you first learned about Zora, what were you doing? What stage of your life did you learn about Zora? Did you learn about it in the classroom? Did you learn about her in the classroom? Did we get disconnected? I think we may have gotten disconnected. We will wait for Miss Antonio Badon to call us back. Until then, we'll play another song. Okay, Antonio, I guess we got disconnected.
Yes. I was like, oh, my God.
It's okay. We still have 7 minutes left. I was asking you a question. How old were you when you discovered Zora Neale Hurston, and were you in school?
Well, the beautiful thing about, I was in actually high school, and my mom, she loves to read, history on black literature and a lot of the black writers. So she collects a lot of the literature. And my mom, instead of like trying to make us read a lot, she would always have like different books lying around the house. So if you go into the living room, it was always a book. I remember Black Voices, which was like a real popular book. So one time I thought it was like we had 3 or 4 of them because it looked like every room had the book. And so I actually would always be flipping through the book. My mom also always collected magazines and always would get all the books, like from Ebony. I think Ebony, one of the magazines, had this big book about all the African-Americans who had done great things. And so I would always flip through the book and so I just always just reading and just kind of like just staying up on, you know, a lot of the black writers, a lot of the African-Americans that have done great things, artists. It didn't matter because we had all that information there. And
right, your private library, your private home library.
Yeah,
it was
amazing. Yeah, so you was kind of like exposed to just the literature. Just, even if you didn't read in the house, you just was exposed to it. So I was exposed to her then. But I didn't really dive into it until I was a part of a theatrical company with Tomei Marek. She's a great director, incredible acting coach. I think that's where I got all my strength and all my chops from being around her and being in her theatrical organization. And she actually had the one-woman show script of Zora. And at the time, I couldn't. You know, I wasn't able to perform the piece because I was just starting out as an actress. And there was a lady there named Gwendolyn. I can't remember her last name, but Gwendolyn, she was a great actress at the time. And I think she had auditioned for it with me. I tried to audition for it, didn't get the part. Gwen did, but I would always go to everything Gwen had. So I would kind of like study her, and I liked her techniques. I liked her style. And I always knew about the play. I didn't really get into it, but I always had read the play from knowing, you know, the Gwendolyn was doing it, and she was a great actress. And so when I came to New York, I got a chance to meet with Mr. Holder, and it's a part of my life now.
Wow. Okay. That's actually, now if you weren't doing Zora Neale Hurston, what other African American woman do you think you would be doing?
Oh, let's see. I don't know. I never thought of it. I never actually thought of it. I always thought that I would do a. I always knew I would do a one woman show. That wasn't a question. I would always thought I was going to do a one woman show that was written by Sharon Bridgeford out of Austin, Texas. So I was already, you know, I was kind of excited about continuing doing that particular one woman show. One woman shows are very hard.
Now, who is this lady out of Texas?
Her name is yes, her name is Sharon Bridgeford. She's a writer. She wrote a book called, I think one of her first books was called Black Voices. And while I was at the theatrical company in New Orleans, we would always perform her work. So I always thought that I would probably, not always thought, but that was my first opportunity to do a one-woman show. It was some of her pieces. And I actually thought that particular show I would have been able to do it in New York. And when I spoke with her, she said she had written more and more pieces. So Zora, I kind of knew about it, so I figured, you know, let me try the Zora Neale Hurston piece. And after I spoke with Mr. Holder about doing it, he says yes. So I kind of didn't think that I was going to, I didn't think of another person to do one, because it's very difficult to do a one-woman show and to do 15 characters. So it takes a lot of time to develop each particular character, mm-hmm. the time in, and really make sure each out of 15 characters, every single one of them is very distinctive, where you can really see the story unfold. So to actually think about another show, it was just complicated, you know, getting that one off the ground. So right
okay.
now, yeah, right now this one is going very well. It has a great audience. I'm getting a chance to do the college circuit, let the kids get a chance to experience Zora. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, are you selling CDs or DVDs at the show?
No, right now I just sell T-shirts at the show. No CDs, no DVDs.
Okay.
But just T-shirts. But, you know, just hopefully everybody continue to keep coming out. And your audience really get a chance to, and I'm definitely going to be on your blog, so your audience are definitely going to be able to, get in touch with me by looking at your blog this week coming up, right?
Right. I'm going to send a blast out to nearly 5,000 people.
Wonderful.
And so we're going to, I didn't really upload everything. I didn't upload your picture or much of your information yet.
Right.
That leads me to you. Would you please tell us where the show is going to be?
Definitely. The show is at the Face on Firehouse Theater, Saturday, November 28th, Sunday, November 29th, and the address is 6 Hancock Place, 124th Street, between St. Nicholas and Morningside Avenue.
And this is in Harlem, New York.
Harlem, New York, yes. And the phone number to RSVP tickets is 347-767-8482.
All right. And your website?
And my website is www.dovetailactors.org. That's my company website. And you'll find all the information, or just go online and Google Antonia Badon. Or Zora Returns to Harlem, and you definitely can find information about the show. Anything you know, questions or whatever, you just give us a call at 347-767-8482.
One more time, a little slower.
Yes, that's a Louisiana fast talking. It's 347-767-8482.
All right, I will see you at your show on the 28th or the 29th, and we will talk. Thank you for coming on tonight. And you will be back on the show maybe a day or two before the next show, Thanksgiving weekend, correct?
Yes, definitely. Thank you for having me.
No, not a problem. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. 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 Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Tumbling down. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. 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 Joshua fit the battle of Jericho.